Arquitetura entre vistas. Your public space for thinking architecture is now going abroad. Welcome, I'm Catarina, no longer a student, not yet an architect. Join me and a guest architect 3 times a month, with new episodes dropping every 3rd, 13th and 23rd. 3 is the number to remember. Each episode on a different place, but always on Spotify. And Instagram and on the website arquitecturaentrevistas.com. Go check it out.
Max Otto Zitzelsberger did his first independent project back in 2011. Just out of curiosity, it was a project of a 4-square-meter chicken coop. His practice makes it evident that architecture can be found in anything. If beauty is in the eye of the beholder, I might suggest that architecture is in the eye of the beholder. Max, the beholder of this story, shares his visions through multiple drawings, paper models, and eventual constructions. Max, we build, we draw, we make models, we write, we do research, we teach. Are we that thirsty for architecture that we need to turn everything into architecture?
Yes, I think we are forced to turn everything into architecture because I don't know if it's a special German problem, but when you compare the younger practices, I think perhaps in the years after World War II, they really produced one building after another. They really built a lot, and we also work a lot, but we don't have the possibility to build so much. And the other thing is, there is also the big question, is it good for our environment when we build so much new buildings, or is it better to build less and to think more, perhaps? And this idea that thinking about architecture can also be architecture, perhaps it's an idea Hans Hollein also said, this Austrian architect, that everything is architecture or architecture is everything. Yes, and like you said, we teach, we think, we write, we draw, and this is not just something before architecture. So for me, drawing of architecture is architecture itself.
Mm-hmm. And do you think this comes out of a set place where we end up giving importance to the drawing and to the project because we are not able to build, or because actually these tools have some kind of importance themselves?
Yes, it is like you say, they're kind of the process. And the question is, what is important? Is it just the result of the process, or is it the process itself? And you can also say, perhaps just the process is interesting and the result is not important. You can also say just the result is important and not the process, and perhaps it's both, I don't know. But perhaps for me, sometimes the process is more important like the result, I don't know.
Okay, that's an idea I want to keep aside because I want to go to that later. But there was another question that came up to my mind. I once read something you wrote, and I might quote yourself. So you say, the thought is more relevant than the house itself. This is a very strong statement, and by this you polarize the question not to the construction site, but to where thought happens. Does that mean that every thinker is a possible architect?
Yes, yes. There's a German philosopher, Peter Sloterdijk. He said he was an author. How do we call that in English? Author?
Mm-hmm. Author, yes.
Author. Before he wrote books, because there were so many thoughts in his head he used later as an author. And there are also travelers who don't go to these countries. They make the travel in their head. There's a film in German. It's called Heimat Trilogie. There's 3 films about young people, and one tells the story of a young boy in the 19th century in the so-called Hund zurück. It's in the west of Germany, and in the 19th century they had really problems with food. They went to South America to organize their families there. And this young boy, his brother gets money to go to South America, but he not. He had to stay in this problematic situation at home where there's nothing to eat and so on and so on. And he's really, he's the only one person who can read in this village. And he reads books about Brazil, and he knows a lot about Brazil, but he never went there. And the whole film, you see the pictures of him in his head about Brazil, but it's just in his head. And it's interesting because when you look at this question of sustainability and all these big offices who do big projects, and we have a problem with the costs, we have a problem with the transport, and we drive to big cars and we travel too much and we build too much. And I think this is a problem. And then you see, for example, you have a project in a existing house and you just repair it. Perhaps no one sees that someone has made some kind of maintenance in this house. So perhaps 5 or 6 or 7 years ago, when I've founded my office, I also thought I will build schools or a bigger house or something like that. And year after year, I saw that perhaps it's interesting not to build so much. It's also a social question, and I'm not so interested to build for rich people. I like projects which are perhaps for a community or something like that. So this window where you can build gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And then at the end, you build less, or perhaps you build nothing. And perhaps you at the end, you do just very small furniture projects. I don't know what I really like. But there are so many questions. In Germany, you say moral questions. And I have more questions than answers. And it's good to have questions. But when you just want to build, at the end, you have to do a decision. When you want to build, you have to decide. And sometimes it gets more and more problematic to do really good decisions. That is what I feel in this.
I can see that you have many questions. You refer to these many scales of architecture and these many scales of architecture offices. Some of them are almost as companies that have many employees, they work as a business. And then there are very small architecture studios that look for a smaller scale that act very precisely. And as you said, maybe they are working with furniture instead of working with huge projects. I wonder what one side of architecture and the other have in common. What makes both architecture?
It's really an important question. So where does architecture begins and where does it stop? You can say, is a table architecture? And normally you would say, no, it's furniture. And architecture perhaps is space. Space human beings can use. You can go under a table, child, for example, and then there's the point. Perhaps for a child which is sitting under a table and in their imagination it's not a table, but perhaps they use a little bit of textile to cover it and then it's a house for them. So is that architecture or not? I don't know. You can build a house where you need a lot of furniture, and you can build a house where you need not furniture at all. I don't have the answer. And I don't have also the answer to this sentence I mentioned from Hans Hollein, who said everything is architecture or architecture is everything. So when you think about you made holidays in nice country and in a nice house and one year later, you think about that. You don't be there anymore, but you have it in your head and thinking about situations, about all these spaces, virtual spaces you have in your head. Is that space? It's not a space where one other can use, but perhaps it's like, so we have a garden, and when you go in this garden in February, there's just old plants which are brown. But in the earth, there are all these things which will be there and you don't see them, but they will start to grow. So all the ideas you have in your head are potential spaces and potential architecture. I think Holland is right. Everything can be architecture. A tree can be architecture. It's like a roof, or I don't know, everything. I don't know if this is a good answer, but...
It is amazing because you have no answer for it, and those are my favorite kind of answers.
Yes, no, you're right. I have a small book of Oswald Matthias Unger's lectures in Berlin, and he always asked, what is architecture? No one knows. For you, it's something different, like for me. And when you ask me next week, perhaps I have a totally different answer. And that's that, like you said, it's interesting. I don't know. And that's also the mystery. Every generation can define it new. Mm-hmm. And every person can define it anew, and also every day and every second. And perhaps this is also what makes it so interesting, because no one can really say what it is.
Okay, good point there. How would you characterize your generation to define architecture, and how would you define architecture yourself? Once again, it's not a closed answer.
Yeah. Yeah, I can also give you no really precise answer, because when you look at young architects, perhaps in the 1920s, you have this idea of modern architecture, and you know the big player. And looking back to these works, there are a lot of things where you see, okay, there was a common idea. And when you look at younger offices, perhaps someone reads a book in 100 years, perhaps looking from your interviews and sees a lot of from younger practices, also bigger practices, and compare them. I think this person won't see something which combines all these things. What I want to say is there are so much different ideas. Totally different. So, for example, I don't know if you know the Berlin architect Hans Kollhoff. He taught at the ETH in Zurich. He's a really German architect, really regular. It's also a little bit conservative, but very nice. So it's like classicism,
mm-hmm.
neoclassicism. And then on the other side, you have Jan de Vilde in Ghent. And then you have Atelier Fahler in Porto, and then you have Zaha Hadid or Patrick Schumacher in London.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is really completely, totally different forms of architecture. Okay, you have something like the collage. Everything perhaps is a collage. So the collage is perhaps De Vilde Fingteu is a collage. Perhaps also Atelier Fahler is a collage. But Hans Kollhoff is not a collage, and Zaha Hadid also not. And so there are perhaps themes which are important for the younger practices, and there are also parallel kinds of ideas. So when you have these really overview from a lot of offices, not only the younger practices, it's really, really heterogeneous. There's no common idea. There are really a lot of different concepts. Yeah. So you can define groups of practices, groups which then have these common ideas or parallel ideas. But there are so much different groups. And this is perhaps something new. And then the next question is, what is my idea? I don't know. It's always changing every day. It's also a problem because you get so much input about Instagram and so on. It's really nice. And it's also a big problem because every day there's someone who really makes a good project and you see it and then you are really flashed. And then I always, when I see a new idea, I think about my older project. And this is also a problem. A reason why I built not so much, because I always have so much questions, and then I'm sure for this moment and the next moment I think I'm not sure. And it really changes. You see it also, my projects are really heterogene.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it looks to you, looking from outside, but for me, every project is new and there's not a common line, a red line. I don't know.
Yes, I see that same thing in your project, but at the same time, I can identify some kind of thought that is common to all of these projects of yours. Maybe saying that is the color palette would be too superficial, because there is something much deeper that connects all your projects. But as you said, there are many groups. We might call that there are many authors that maybe have some kind of similarities between one another. And so they become almost groups, but each group has many authors and each author develops a kind of thought. Let's explain it like this. Do you think that each author has to develop their own strategy to develop their projects? Maybe it is easier if we think about painting. Imagine a painter, for example, Picasso, that has so many paintings, and even if he has had so many styles, we can look at those and recognize something that is common to all of them. Now, coming back to architecture, do you think that every project is part of a bigger project? Let's call it the project of the architect. Or is every project a new start, completely independent from previous projects of that same author?
I think there's always a connection between. So when I make a new project, the basement of this new project are all the thoughts I had in the older projects.
Uh-huh.
It's like working with references. So there, from architect history, you have a lot of references and you always can use them. So when you really work with references, you can also ask, is it an old project? Because you use ideas from some years before or 100 years.
References is a word I like a lot, and I think we share that same liking for this word. Well, maybe let's become a bit more poetic. To copy or not to copy? That is the question.
Yeah. Working with references doesn't mean to copy.
Uh-huh.
But the question is, how near are you to your reference? And sometimes I'm near and sometimes I'm very near. It's interesting because when I studied in the early 2000s, we weren't allowed to work with references because our teachers, they were modernists. And the idea of modern architecture is to making tabula rasa. And I think it's a naive idea that you can always be the god of your house, your building. There is nothing you use from architecture history, or I think that's completely naive. So for me, it's like a pool. Architecture history is like a pool of ideas. Perhaps you are not able to really define something which is completely new. You can just work with fragment of ideas which are old, but you can combine them in a way then they seem to be new, but it's just a new combination. Perhaps it's as problematic as the other idea. Perhaps the truth is between, I don't know. And then is the question, are you allowed to copy? And that's interesting. There's a Munich architect. He's called Leo von Klenze, and he really made one-to-one copies. He built really the Acropolis in Regensburg. It's a Roman city in Bavaria. There's really nice landscape with flat hills, and on the top of one of these flat hills, he built a one-to-one model of the Acropolis. And he made a lot of copies also from famous Florence Renaissance houses from Brunelleschi and so on. I think he was a great architect, Leo von Klenze, but some houses are so good that you can build them again.
That is a
I
beautiful
don't know.
idea. And maybe going outside of the architecture field, but as you said, everything is architecture and architecture is everything. So I'm allowed to go outside of architecture. Darwin would say about the evolution of species that it is not the strongest of the species that survives, not the most intelligent that survives. It is the one that is most adaptable to change. So maybe this idea of references is exactly this, is looking at something that exists already and taking it as a reference and see how you can develop from that. Maybe that's the idea of copy you are talking about, or is it?
Darwin is problematic. So this Darwin idea is to say that in German you say der angepassteste, so perhaps,
Wait, you have to translate it.
yes, I know, adjusted, the most adjusted. It's interesting because we have a debate here in Germany because we have problems with our competitions. Our competitions produces this adjusted kind of architecture, this, it's not good and not bad. It's okay. It's not worth to speak about. And the results of competitions in Germany are okay. There's one of 100 is really good, but the most produce in German, you say, this Mehrheitsfähig. And when you look at buildings, from Gottfried Böhm, the only German architect who got the Pritzker Prize, no one would build again here in this year or also in the next year here in Germany. And this is also a problem because German architecture, no one is interested in German architecture. And I also understand it's okay. For me now, really interesting is Portugal, Great Britain, to France, to Belgium, for me.
Yes, I understand what you mentioned with okay architecture. I wonder if okay architecture is architecture, but that's not the point.
No, I think it is. I think it is. Because when you say this, everything is architecture, you can also take the very famous Warhol, Andy Warhol, everything is beautiful, everything. Even the problematic things. So you have perhaps a really shocking story of, I don't know, a family, and you read a really interesting novel about this shocking story, and the novel can be so nice, but it's no one wants. I'm really interested in the last 5 years to references which are not produced by architects, which are produced by people who doesn't know anything about architecture. They produce really perhaps ugly houses, but they're really interesting. They have interesting solutions, artistic, like a sculpture, all these buildings which are not in the city but around the city. Yes, so I think also the boring architecture can be architecture. Yes.
This is very similar to what you said in the beginning about the people that get to know a lot about certain places, but they never visit them, yet they have an image in their mind. So maybe this is the same thing that happens with people that are not architects and they end up building some pretty interesting solutions for architecture themselves.
Yes. So when I started to study, I didn't understand Peter Merkley, for example, from Zurich. It was so abstract. And he said in one lecture, he's interested in aesthetics, but and I always thought, what is their aesthetic? And I needed 3 or 4 years. Now I'm so fascinated of his work. From this point, I always see it and I think about it. And for me, something like a new universe of ideas, of really to discovering the world every day new, like a child perhaps.
Yes, I have looked through his work very recently, and many of his drawings are even made on the back front. No, I don't know if back front exists, on the back front of the envelope. And they are very small and they are super overworked. And you can see the lines that are rubbed out, and you can see all the lines that are all over each other, but yet they are very abstract and they have no detail at all, but super detail at the same time.
Yes, you're right. No one can describe it. They're fascinating drawings. They are naive and they are so strong. And I've also tried to draw them again. It's not possible. It's not possible. I'm really, I can draw very good, but it's not possible.
So you tried to copy.
Not to tell that the drawings are from me, but so copying. So when you're studying art in the academy of the 19th or 20th century, you started to copy. And I think copying is a kind of learning. So also children who want to learn, they try to copy. Copying is very important. It's a problem when you say you copy something and then you say, this is a house for me. But when I use a reference, I use it in a way, I hope I do it in a way, or I try to do it in a way that the one who knows about architecture history also knows the reference. I don't want to hide it. I want to show it. I worked with this reference from this century, or I don't know.
As you said, when we are trying to learn, we copy. For example, when we are learning how to talk, we copy other people talking, we copy the sounds. When we are learning how to write, as we try to copy the letters, it is exactly the same thing. So maybe when we are copying other projects or other drawings, maybe we're trying to understand, just like we were trying to understand what our parents were saying when we were kids.
You're totally right. It's try to understand. And Hannah Arendt, a German author, she said she was writing to understand. There is a famous interview with her, and there she tells that. You can also look at it in YouTube, but I'm not sure if there is also a translation. And she says she wrote all the books for herself. There's a man who made the interview, a very famous German journalist in the 60s or 70s. He wanted to know if she wants to have a big effect. In German, you say Wirkung. So a man who wants something, wants to be famous, and he wants to have an effect of his work. It's a masculine question. And she said, no, her idea is not to have an effect that she is a famous author. Her idea is to understand. I think it's really true what she said. And yes, you do it to understand, to learn. And
In the beginning of this conversation, I made a promise that was to come back to a theme you mentioned earlier on. And I want to go back to that because I think it connects really well to this idea. It is very simple to imagine someone selling a building, but it's much harder to imagine someone selling an idea. How can we make it work?
Important question. How do you... The house is in your head, ideas in your head, but you have to describe it. And you have to find someone who listens to you. And this is really the most difficult things. So you can be very talented, but no one is interested. There's also another German author. It's Martin Walser. He died 2 years ago. He was one of these big authors after the war. He was also problematic. There were some sentences which were not nice, but he was an interesting person and he wrote really nice books. He said, it's much more important what a person don't say than that what she says. And perhaps it's also with the houses. There's so much unbuilt ideas or unbuilt houses. But your question is, how can you really transport them? Sometimes it's really also like a coincidence that the right idea in the right moment comes to the right person. And then there's another person next to which understands what's this idea. Perhaps some people are really able to produce one great idea after another and always find someone who is interested in these ideas. But for me, there are a lot of ideas which no one is interested in this moment. And it's also hard because I always think, okay, perhaps it's a good idea, but when there is no one who is interested.
This can almost be seen as if the architect and the client cannot find a consensus.
Yeah.
The architect is concerned about the project, but the client, on the other hand, is concerned about the house. So this might be seen as if both architect and client cannot find a consensus. Have you ever said to a client that, listen, the thought is much more relevant than the house itself? I wonder what would be the client's reaction to that.
No, there are clients which I don't tell the idea. That's perhaps a German problem, because in German, a lot of people thinks in functions. And you always have to translate form into function. So you design a form which is also working, but it's not only the idea of this house to work, it's also the idea of the house to be a form. But there are some people who just understand when you speak about functions. I think it's a German problem. Also, there's a nice word in German, which are reasonable. Everything is very formal and orderly. They don't want to have this great architecture idea. They want just talk about functions and about heating. And you can, sometimes it works, but not always, that you hide architecture behind the functions. And someone who wants to see it sees it, and the other one just sees a functional house.
But being an optimist, I think we can take it to another reading. I consider it reasonable for an architect to be interested about the project, and then once the project becomes a house, the house is completely of the clients. The architect is expected not to want to live in that house, so it's a sign of respect. On the other way around, maybe the client is showing respect to the work of the architect if he's really interested in the product and not so much in the process. Maybe for the architect, the house is just a means to be able to project. And for the client, the house is just a means for them to have a house. The project is just a means for them to have a house. So they all have something in common, but then they want different things out of it. Does this make sense? More or less.
Yeah, and so I have really often the situation that it doesn't work. You start and you try to find a platform where you can talk and try to understand what they want, but it doesn't work every time. And then you have also to decide to stop it.
It doesn't work every time, but it has worked sometimes. Can you give an example of this very good outcome of a project of yours?
Yeah, all the projects I show they are for me in this kind of quality, then I want to show them. And I think that's also then a kind of coincidence that it worked. I have no strategy. Also, when it works, there are no things I can see which where I say, okay, that was a strategy that worked, and then I do it again and it also works again. It's always new. And so I'm not really a strategic person. I'm very emotional. And that's also a problem in conversation with clients. You have in Germany, they expect that you are always professional. And I understand myself not as a professional. I'm not a professional. I'm an architect. I don't want to be, in Germany, you say this Dienstleistung. That means a service, service person. You want to buy apples and I sell apples. That's not the point. Perhaps okay architecture, we talked before, can also be interesting in different aspects. But what is the difference? Perhaps it's a kind of contradiction now, also in my argumentation. On the one side, when you take this Warhol idea, everything is beautiful, then there is no difference. Nietzsche, this famous German philosopher, he said, you are not able not to want. You always want something. Even when you don't want something, you don't want something. So also this service architecture, this okay architecture, there is someone who wants it. You want to be normal. And perhaps you need also talent to do something normal and not try always to do something which is outstanding or extraordinary. There's no answer, perhaps. Something can be very consequent and very boring. Something can be inconsequent and very boring. Something can be consequent and very interesting, and something can be inconsequent and very interesting. I think there's no rule.
That is probably why there are so many authors in architecture. I think this was a beautiful, open way to lead to the following part of this conversation. A book.
I would take... The problem is, I read a lot. We take something from Judith Butler. For me, it's also interesting to take something from Foucault or something, but Judith Butler, Gender Trouble.
A place.
It can be a really banal, normal, boring place, which is really interesting. And perhaps it's the front of a garage or something no one knows. So I could say a famous city or something, but it don't feel right when I say Munich or I say Vienna or every place can be interesting. So it's also not easy for me to say something.
Well, if you say that with enough confidence, I can take that as an answer.
Every place is interesting or can be interesting, yes.
Ta-da! Accepted answer. An architect.
Oh. I can say Lina Bobardi. She's great, but you can also say, for me, okay, you say Lina Bobardi.
A project of your own.
The Wartehaus. And does it has to be a built project? Or
No. There are also rules here.
So perhaps I take the Wurst House. It's a sausage house for a young butcher.
A project from another architect.
For me, it would be interesting to take a project from Dennis Scott Brown. But it's interesting because it's not so clear. When you look at Robert Venturi, there's the big list, what he did, and he was always in the focus. and she not. And there's also a problem of Aalto's Dennis Scott Brown. That's something which is in my head now.
I wonder if they are one and the same author. Not always, but many times.
Yeah, they're the same authors. You're right. But they started not in the same year. So it's really a problem because so when you make a decision, you decide also not to talk about so much other projects,
yeah,
which are perhaps important. I have always a problem with these kind of answers.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Max, for all the delight you find in architecture. I constantly get lost in my architectural thoughts as well, so we might meet again there soon, anytime. Dank.
There are so many questions where there is no answer. And thank you so much, Katharina. It was a pleasure for me.
Me too. Thank you.
Have a nice day. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for listening. Did you know you can also take part in this episode? Go to arquitecturaentrevistas.com and upload images of projects that came to your mind while listening to this episode. For each episode, you will find a cloud of references uploaded by listeners all over the world. Of course, you can check on this collection anytime for your own projects as well. Hit the follow button for more thoughts on architecture and catch daily updates on Instagram. Obrigada!